We are privileged to bring to you another series of spiritual conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J., professor at the Jesuit School of Theology in Chicago and at St. John's University in New York. Father Hardin is a well-known retreat master, author, and spiritual director. Each conference in this series is separate in itself, and yet together they form a complete retreat, the overall theme being sacrifice and love. The heart of all spirituality is a sacrifice, and a spiritual life not built on sacrifice is building on sand. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, How to Make a Good Retreat. Father Hardin.
During the conferences of the retreat, we will, of course, address ourselves to many, and I trust, more subtle themes. But it seems to me that the opening conference of a retreat ought to be on how to make a good retreat. I've just finished my 29th year in the priesthood, and the longer I'm in the priesthood, the more sure I am that the simpler you can make the message of the gospel, the more God blesses what you're doing. Consequently, for our opening conference, I think we can simply ask ourselves the not rhetorical question on how to make not just a retreat, but a good retreat. And a good retreat, not so much in the sense that we are particularly satisfied with having spent, I hope, 8 prayerful days, but a good retreat in the sense that it will be a fruitful retreat. Its value will be measured only by how much it does to your life into the future. If I could offer a theme for the retreat, I would suggest that it is a retreat on the priesthood and the Eucharist. Or from another perspective, a retreat on the two most important things we are supposed to do in life, namely sacrifice and love. Where the priesthood is nothing if it is not sacrifice. And the Eucharist is, as we know, not merely the expression of God's love. It is God's love incarnate. As we then approach the conferences, reflections, self-scrutinies, and I hope some resolutions, during the retreats, I suggest that we look especially at these two levels of our lives, the level of sacrifice and the level of love. We are to discover and remove what stands between ourselves and a more perfect service of God, which means sacrifice. Then we are to discover God's will more clearly and more practically than perhaps we have so far been doing, and then resolve to do that will, which is a prosaic way of saying, love God. Let's first address ourselves to the subject of the sacrifice that God expects of us as religious. Over the years now, we pretty well know what sacrifice means. It means giving up. It means letting go. It means surrendering. I like the verb surrender because it has something of a military connotation. Usually don't surrender except after some conflict, and you know whom that conflict is with. It is mainly ourselves. We sacrifice then insofar as we give up or surrender something precious, precious in our eyes, and therefore a sacrifice. Unless we like something, unless we're attached to something, unless it is pleasing and appealing, in a word, unless it's precious, we cannot even sacrifice it. Honest. Consequently, we should ask ourselves during the retreat, what are some of these precious things that easiest of all lists you would ever be asked to make? What I like. And that God asks of us to give up. Though we should also remind ourselves that sacrifice can take not quite the opposite, but a correlative form. It may mean giving up in the sense of surrendering things that we like, or it means, well, surrendering to, in the sense of resigning ourselves to, living with, I don't think I should say things, because most of these things are people that God has just put into our lives. To give up struggling, as so often we do, with the dislikes, the unpleasant, the eccentric, the odd, the weird. The Lord, how could you? Kinds of things that He puts into our lives, and then folds His arms and watches what we do. That too is sacrifice. Whether then it is giving up what we like, or living with and resigning ourselves to what we don't like, what are the sacrifices that I have not quite fully surrendered in my life? That should be the first object of our retreat reflection. In fact, unless we give a lot of attention to what may superficially seem to be the negative side of our spiritual lives, we can, well, I don't know what figure of speech to use, and it's not in my notes. I'm never quite sure how it's going to sound, but we can, well, spray or sprinkle ourselves with all sorts of fragrant, smelling, romantic spirituality. Which, as we know, no matter how high priced, evaporates. The heart of the spiritual life is sacrifice. And unless love builds on sacrifice, it is building on sand. So much so that although in the nature of things, these objects of sacrifice, whether the pleasant things to be given up or the unpleasant to be resigned to, may seem to be obstacles in the spiritual life. I'm not quite sure I was all this clear last year. Well, my mind is getting clearer. I can affirm much more surely than I could a year ago. These struggles, these self-conquests are, in large measure, they are the spiritual life. What are they? Are they people? The pleasant, lovable persons whom God somehow has either taken out of our lives or wants us to, well, take out. And I'm sure by now we all know people can't be in our lives without being physically where we are, right? In matters of spirit, time and distance are literally immaterial. That's what a spirit is. Are they persons? Or is it a person? And I suppose, especially in community life, to which we shall address ourselves, naturally, more than once, it may well be some person who perhaps would never guess that she, oh dear Lord, it's she who is my blessed cross in life, and my sacrifice is being kind, forbearing, and not even manifesting the supernatural struggle that I've got to undergo to be kind towards her. Is it a place? Well, sisters, you have simplified things for this retreat master because you are in one place. Nevertheless, as I by now have discovered, it's remarkable what places people can become attached to. Are there any native New Yorkers in chapel? Well, I learned that some New Yorkers are so attached to that metropolis. I have other synonyms, by the way. that some have literally hardly left the environs of Greater New York. One executive whom I have in class or had this past summer in New York told me, all I could do is believe him. He has never been further west than Philadelphia. He is in a position that we had, which we have not been able to shake off. Is it a position we now have in the community that is for us the sacrifice to which perhaps the Lord is asking us to resign ourselves? Is it the habits we've got into, little things, and often the very charity of our fellow religious can allow individuals to remain conditioned in their reflexes, doing the oddest, most eccentric, and may I add, most annoying things. And perhaps the reason they are permitted to practice these annoying eccentricities is because others have considered this their way of sanctification. Is it especially into the Ismanian this we shall address ourselves to the retreats? Our internal desires and fears. You see, the hardest sacrifices we are called upon to make are not outside of us, but inside. It is not the things we've got to give up with our hands. It is the things we've got to let go with our hearts. Here again, I think I've learned how true it is that we cannot judge by externals, including judging ourselves, that we can assure ourselves that we are really getting holy because from all external appearances, we are so obviously more regular, more prompt, more responsive to the demands of charity around us. And yet, that very external practice of religious regularity may hide a not totally surrendered heart. And here no one except God with His grace and we can discover what Christ wants us to give up inside. And not even, and this is where it becomes demanding, and not even get credit from anyone, except of course God, for having made the oblation. It may be that after 20 years, and if this is the sacrifice that Christ asks of you, what a wonderful retreat you will have made. But after 20 years, you will tell God, Lord, I was wrong in my judgment about her. Do you know what I'm saying? what a sacrifice that can be to admit that you've been wrong for 20 years. So much, very introductorily, about the sacrifices, the priesthood side of our retreat that the Lord asks us to make. And by the way, if you get anywhere near the end of the retreat and you have not yet discovered some really substantive sacrifice, and maybe a deep down interior kind that God is asking of you, please, if you need help, let me know. Because you will have made a good retreat only if you will have made whatever sacrifice God asks of you.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately, without rewinding the tape.